gamba abakuli okumpi basirike balekere awo okuwoggana.
Kasooke ngambe oyita agenda bagambeko. I'm having some interview. Could they minimize their voices if you don't mind? Please tell them. And I can do it.
Omusajja ssebo atoye order. Mr. Chibige.
Sente zange.
Karungenda kale kamo, this will be my intro nkagade. I'm Bonnie Kibuka. On my podcast, The Ugandan Boy Talk Show, I've had an honor to sit down with some of the most incredible hearts and minds from Uganda, like Miss Uganda Oliver Nakakande, Joram Mozoe Job, the Executive Director of Joram Model Management, Pastor Wilson Bugembe, and many, many more. On this podcast, you get to hear raw and real life stories of their journey, what they've been through, and the people that have inspired their journey so that they can make a difference in ours. Listen to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Join the journey soon. Mr. Chibige, welcome to the podcast, my brother.
Thank you so much.
How have you been?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty
Maybe
cool.
Maybe I said in the US.
I've been good. I can't complain. First of all, I want to apologize for not coming through the first recording we had scheduled because I had family over and I wasn't able to make that happen. But I'm so glad I've had you to have you today to do this recording.
It's all right. Thank you so much. At least we've made it right now.
Yeah. Okay. Where are you catching this recording from?
Mbale.
Mbale
City.
Oh, really?
Mbale. Yeah.
That's amazing. So are you born and raised in Imbale?
No.
Okay.
Born and raised in Busia.
In where?
Busia.
Busia.
You've heard about that?
Yeah. So Busia, my mom is Kenyan. So we used to go to like Busia or Malaba, so the two borders to enter Kenya. So for the most part we used to go through Busia. So I've been in Busia for a few times. So just through the border. And sometimes we stop in the town too, like Busia town, to get some food. But I've never gone there purposely to go to Busia.
Yeah.
So I have a friend who is from Busia. He lives in America, in Michigan, with me, Michael Mugenyi. I don't think you know him. I'm not acting like these Americans. They will find some. Oh, I have a friend from Africa. You know, somebody from Zimbabwe. Like, dude, I'm.
Like, just like them, you have a friend from Busia.
Yeah, I have a friend from Call Busia. Call Michael McGain, your mumani.
Of course, they are those guys from there, Samia.
Okay. Yeah, Samia. Yeah, and I had a lot of friends from school who were Samia's. Were David, he was from Busia too. So I have a few friends actually from Busia. But anyway, I'm so glad to have you on the podcast. I'm so glad we connected. How did you connect to my podcast? Or how did you connect to me?
I first got to know you some time back, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, then I think I came across one of your posts on Instagram. I think that was last year.
Do you remember what post it was?
It was some lady. Was it Nakakande?
Oh, Oliver Nakakande, yeah.
Something like kind. So I started following you up, the kind of work, and then I was really impressed. But then by then I was having ups and abouts here and there. Mm-hmm. So I could not approach. Then, so when you interviewed, I think it was one of the poets here, my friend. Yeah, Geoffrey.
Geoffrey the poet?
Geoffrey the poet.
Yeah.
So I also got interested, and that is how I decided to get to you, actually.
Amazing, man. I love to hear that story. I like that, ask those questions, how people connect and to get to hear. So I'm thankful for those platforms that you're able to tap into the podcast and then you find about, and then finding out about other guests. I like to give opportunities to people to just listen to their stories, and that's the main goal of this podcast, is to share our stories and our journey to inspire somebody else, and that's to get known for what we do, you know. Like, I like to put my podcast out there for people to know what I do, but also wants to give an opportunity for other people who do the things they do so that the world can hear about the stories. Like, somebody might not know a poet in Uganda, but then they tap into, one time they'll be scrolling on the social media and then they find a poet. So when I interviewed Jeff the poet, and I got to know you, you're also a poet and you're an author, right?
Yeah, sure.
How did you get into, like, your journey to the world of poetry? How was your journey like? When did it start?
Actually, I started writing poetry when I just joined Form 1 some time back.
Okay.
That is when I decided to start writing poems. So I was at Luwiri High. Luwiri High School. Some Kabaka founded school, Buganda School. Mm-hmm. So I met this teacher. I remember very well his name is actually, he still lives. He's called Mr. Bruno.
Yeah.
Serunkum. So this guy really inspired me to start writing poems, because on writing my first poem in Form 1, guy was like, oh, this poem is good, what? So I was like, okay. Started putting courage in me and started demanding me to write a poem every day about school, about my friends, about different topics. So he mentored me. I started getting to know techniques of poems when I was still in Form 1. The techniques you study in A-level here in Uganda, I started getting them when I was in Form 1. So I was shaped into that line by different mentors of mine when I was still in high school. In 2000, I remember when I was in Senior 2, I even got awarded for like being a good writer and making it. I even got a scholarship at school for writing.
That's amazing to know that, and that's why I think God gives different talents to different people. I was not a writer. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't into writing, and I wasn't into literature. I went in a literature class for 2 days. This is not me. Wanosiwange. So I had to find other ways. But I enjoy, now I've grown to enjoy stories and poems. Like, even sometimes I'll just purposely go Google a poem and just read it. And the thoughts that come in my head, I was like, man, these people are so creative. Like, sitting down, coming up with these words that match whatever you're talking about, or whatever you want to express in a poem, and talking to Jeff the poet too, and that's a lot of creativity. And the main reason why I do this, because I have an audience in the United States, I want to show them some of our creatives, some of our people in Uganda too, that some people have a closed mind of like, oh, this is not done in Uganda, or like, because we have bad schools, because we have we're a third world country, there's a part of people thinking that we don't have some things in there, or like, but when they get to hear, yes, we have poets, yes, we have pilots, yes, we have people who have achieved all these big things, and that's my number one part of us sharing these stories, and I love to hear that. So when you do poetry, your work often explores themes and identity of and culture. How does your Ugandan background influence your writing? Like, you growing up in Uganda, or what style of poetry do you do when you go out to like write it?
Yeah, I write spoken word, and then there's free verse poems, and then these complex ones, of course. I also craft those complex ones too. And it's those ones with some sweet rhymes, you know.
Like the love stories?
Yeah, odes, ballads, of course, such poems. But I've been inspired by a lot of things. Life, majorly. I majorly write about the theme of love, theme of death. I also write about fate. Yeah, those three majorly. But though sometimes I also try digging into politics.
Nice. You know Jeff the poet too?
Very well. Jeff the poet. Good friend.
Your good friend. That's amazing. You guys inspire me, and I've had a few poets here. I don't know if you listen to the whole episode of with
Joff the poet. I mean, they're kind of close names, but I hosted an American poet. He's also a writer, Written to Speak. And I don't know if you've tapped into his episode. You should tap into it. Oh, listen to his journey. He's on this podcast too. He's from America. He's from Tennessee. But he's a poet and he's also a writer. He has published like a ton of books. And I think you'll get inspired by his work. He mostly does like a lot of Christian poems and like inspiration and stuff like that. But I want to ask you a question. In your style of poetry that you do, you mentioned about love. Umanyimwe abakola literature in high school, you had like, you come up with all those poems and sweet poems you write to the girls. Was that an advantage for you to get the girls because you can write a love poem?
Actually, I remember when I was still at Lubidi. You know, in my HSA, I joined a single sex school, but when I was still at Lubidi, I used to recite a poem every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So time came and boys who were, because I was in O-level, I also inspired those guys who were in O-level. So there are guys who used to come to me and be like, write for me a poem. I love poem about this and this and this. And of course, the administration was okay with me. It was only poetry. Mm-hmm. They didn't take it for any other something else other than poetry. So I used to write poems.
For their girlfriends.
Based on their stories for their girlfriends.
Yeah.
For commission, actually.
Yeah.
Commission. Yeah, so I used to go and recite the poems on the assembly grounds, those Mondays I remember.
That is,
To my side, I was this kind of shy guy.
Yeah.
Not so shy, but shy. But I think my girlfriend has always loved those poems, actually. Yeah. Those ones that I dedicate to her.
Do you also do music? Because most of the poets that I've interviewed, at least they have some type of like acoustic summer thing, and then they'll play some acoustic and then do music. Like even Joff the poet does acoustic and then he does poems too.
I wrote songs for 3 years.
That's interesting.
But then unfortunately I stopped. Why? Because I was not getting that kind of positive encouragement, you know. The people who I used to write for, because I don't sing, so the people who I used to write for back then, well, let me say, non-serious, I think, or quite non-fortunate. You know, writing for someone something and then they are performing it and then they're not having good audience because of the song or something of that kind, you'll at least get encouraged to keep on writing the lines.
Yeah.
So I just stopped. That's not a good reason, but I just stopped missing on that.
What style of music were you writing for? Were you, because I know poems would match perfect with hip hop. Oh, you were doing R&B? Yeah.
I was doing R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, R&B. I have a friend who does hip hop, actually.
Okay.
Some good poet of ours also here.
That's crazy. That's great. I love that. I love words that are thoughtful, you know, like when you listen to them in a song, it's like, man, this guy came up with this word and this word and this word, and it flows very well. It's enjoyable. But yeah, I'd ask you the question of the girls, because, you know, girls like to those handwritten letters. And when you, because sometimes, like for us who didn't know how to write or who didn't know poets, we used to just go to Google and then just Google those sweet words. Just go to Google.
You used to go to Shakespeare.
Yeah, you go to Shakespeare and just steal some of Shakespeare's words and just put them in your text. And I'm like, yeah, I got that. But anyway, as an up-and-coming poet or writer in Uganda, what has been the challenges you've encountered and how have you overcome them, like being a poet in Uganda?
Not so many yet, because one, me, I'm not a stage poet. I don't go to stage. I don't showcase my poems on stage.
Why did you choose that?
I'm this kind of shy poet.
Okay.
At some point, yeah. But of course, here in Uganda, written poetry like is really, really not so selling.
Mm-hmm.
The market is limited, and you know when it comes to book distribution, because I'm having 6 books, though not poetry only. Of course, I'm writing other genres. I'm writing novels. I'm having a novel. I'm having plays.
Okay.
I'm so much into plays actually and poetry.
Mm.
Though my forthcoming book that we have scheduled for 23rd December,
okay,
that release, It's a novel. It's my first novel, actually.
Can we talk about that book a little bit? I don't know if you're open to doing that, but just I don't want to forget about it. What people should expect and where will this book be released at? And just talk a little bit about it before you continue that. I don't want to forget that part.
The Abandoned is my debut novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's African set. Ugandan set, actually. I'm having tribes of the Ja, Padola, the Baganda, the Basoga, all in that text. It's based on actual events, to come up with the story, actually. So I'm releasing it very soon, this December.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be quite expensive,
yeah,
a little bit, for the first 3 months, because I'm having a target audience.
Okay.
Then after we shall reduce the price and shall come down to something around. I'll be distributed to by some big companies that distribute around East Africa and Africa, mm-hmm, at large.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a CEO to an infant publishing house.
Okay. This
publishing house, it's my own. So we've had paperwork. We've signed papers with documents with those of Aristoc and, mm-hmm, other book distributors around Africa and East Africa here.
That is crazy, man. That's an amazing job, man. I'm proud of you to hear all these things that you do.
Thank you so much.
I love that because people generalize things and they put a narrative on the youth and the young people in Uganda about Tebagala Kola others. But when you listen to these stories of people out there doing the best they can, doing a good job, we need to acknowledge that and we need to respect that, put respect on your names. And when I think about somebody who is a writer in Uganda and not putting Uganda down, it takes more than writers who are in America, because sometimes things come easy for the people in the developed countries than the people in Uganda. So when you hear somebody being able to do what they do in Uganda, we need to put some respect to that. And I acknowledge you for that and proud of you and to hear what you're doing and a whole CEO.
Thank you so much.
So what are some, I know you say there's not many challenges. The question was, I was asking you the challenges you've encountered as a poet, but also what are the challenges you've encountered as a writer? You know, it's like I said, it's not easy. What are some of the hardships you go through into publishing these books and selling them?
Before I started up my own, currently we've already published some guy called David Ferdinand. We're having a book already published by us,
mm-hmm,
by my brand. It's registered. So before I registered my own publishing house, before I started it up, the challenge was book distribution, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I earn out of the books being like sold, you get.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't sell a copy, of course I don't earn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like that guy who's going to go on stage and perform and then they give me some commission after.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either through writing, through selling a book, or through selling a book. There's no other option.
Yeah.
So the limited market, due to a lot of hardships that we go through when it comes to book distribution, and also the stereotypes in most of the people's minds. You know, omuntu abate yakola nyo literature obanga tali inspired by abantu abasoma kubutabongo obwo, kiba kizibu nyo to get interest in reading a book. And also, to some extent, it's really hurting that someone could buy a copy of your book and then just puts it maybe in their bedroom without, mm-hmm, reading it.
Yeah.
So the main challenge I've faced me as me, Chibirige, has been book distribution.
Yeah.
That is why I've given adequate time, I think,
mm-hmm,
adequate to this forthcoming release of mine. I want to see it being distributed very, very well, like internationally. At least the whole of Africa should have copies of my books.
Okay. I saw you sent me a link of the book. Are you selling books on Amazon, right? Oh,
yeah.
I think you sent me the link for that. When you say that this book will be expensive, how expensive are we talking about, like, for the people to buy it?
100,000.
Okay.
Million shillings.
Okay.
That's about $27,
mm-hmm,
US.
Mm-hmm.
they already have started complaining, basing on flyers and, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I was reading something the other day that people will complain about the prices, but they don't know what you go through to create that, you know. Like, when you say my book is 100,000, somebody say, hey, sente nyingi, but when they sit down to know what you went through to get to that book, for them to have it, then they will know how hard it was or the work you put in. And, like, even the photographers, like, I've hosted photographers on my podcast, and they tell them, hey, oh, you wanna say that, like, but people really put their time and work in that, and we need to start respecting people's time and people's work, not just putting them down on. I mean, you can negotiate, but then it doesn't mean that you're gonna like just put somebody down. But I like how you brought in your challenges, and I could see how people, the number of illiteracy in Uganda could affect your sale of the books too. Nchiomuntu ngabogambi tiasoma literature, they don't find the urge of buying a book. But that narrative actually is changing, because I see people starting to buy like books. But we also have this problem in Uganda, and I don't know if you've encountered it yourself, but people in Uganda would rather buy somebody else's book. Omuntu ali serebu, omuntu ali mu America, like, you know, this guy just released the book. Because, and then they forget about the local people, the people of their own who are doing the same exact work. And somebody's book, like Chibirige's book, could inspire you just as the same as that celebrity you're going to buy the book for, you know, like, or even Chibirige's book could be more. But you never know if you don't give these people that opportunity to check out their work, see their work. And that's why when I was choosing my podcast, you know, people go for celebrities. You know, it, your podcast would blow up if you had a celebrity on there. But for me, it's not about that. Like, how about the people who are out there doing a great job, that it's the same thing that the celebrity you want is going to offer for somebody? So that we need to change that narrative too, because somebody ajagenda gula akatabo kaserebu ate yerabide the home ground grown Chibirige. So I want to ask you another question. If you were given an opportunity to do a stage performance, would you do it?
I'm always receiving opportunities of that kind, almost every week.
Yeah.
But in my life, I've just decided not to do that, because I'm not a guy who does it. You know, it's not my thing. Yeah. Totally, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, ever since high school, I just dropped it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I mean, some people will look at it in a negative way, you know, in Amalala, but it's always good.
Similar, like, I fear not doing my very best.
Okay. I was going to support that, because I'm just saying, like, some people, abakulaba, if people listen to this, or if they hear, they listen to this podcast, but they're like, I don't know, he can't do that. But sometimes in life, you need to pick your niche. You need to pick your lane, obede millennial. Like, if you're just jumping around in different lanes, you're not focused. But stay in your lane and perfect that and do that. Say, yeah, I can do this, and I'm going to focus on this, and then... And that's the same thing, Nange. There are some, like, people have told me, hey, sometimes podcasts are boring. But for me, that's not the intention. I'm not going to just, because there are some podcasts there where people, like, read things off Twitter, and they just, like, laugh, or, like, they do that, which they are fun. People enjoy them. But I picked this lane because, for me, I'm more into stories, into discovering what people do, and that's what I want to do. So, I applaud you for that, sticking to that and knowing what you want. So it's not that you're just a bandwagon. So it's always good to have that.
It has made a difference, by the way.
Yeah.
It has.
How has it made a difference?
Yeah. See, I'll give you another example. When you decide to write down books, you know, to compile a book, like maybe a poetry collection, an anthology or something of that kind, and then you decide to also do stage, it really affects you in one way or the other. One may like you when you're on stage, and then they will not find interest for your other side, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you look at those great guys, sorry to refer, but that is it, that some guys who inspire me, when you look at those of Shakespeare, those of Robert Frost from the US, those of Emily Dickinson, okay, theaters were there, but they used not to showcase it that way. they used to give chance to other people who were reading their poems to do the recitation. You understand?
Yeah.
So in one way or the other, it has also made a difference for me, because I've really earned from my books, actually, though not to my expectations, but at least they really earned me something.
Yeah. That is good. And you answered actually one of my questions I was going to ask you earlier about who inspires you and where you get your inspiration. But I'll still ask you, like, in Uganda, there are some poets that you look up to in Uganda, and you're like, this guy, you might not be like, Ainzo Kubanga, he's not the one inspiring you, but like, you respect their work on, like, on a guy, they're doing a very good job.
Each and every guy I know about, each and every poet I know, I must say, they have my respect.
Yeah.
Those of Zenana Kanwaji, those of Senyondo, Geoff the Poet, those of Destiny Changa, those guys, all those guys, they're my guys, they're my friends, but I respect them and they really, really inspire me in one way or the other,
to be
honest.
That's good.
And I'm really proud of them all.
That is good. I like it when we all like respect each other instead of like competing or see competition, like, hey, on a guy, I'm seeing guy on an seeing guy. Like, it's not about that. It's about seeing, hey, somebody's doing a good job. And I'm doing that myself. Like, I see somebody else has a good podcast. They're doing a very good job. Instead of like jumping into comparison and stuff, it's just respect them. Hey, man, you're doing a great job here. Or kolo mune mugwa manye. And it's this, like, we always say, these opportunities are so big. Tetsuba zimalayo fena. If we start fighting for them, like, we just need to encourage other people even to tap into it, because there's a lot of opportunities in there. Yes. So in this digital age, social media plays a significant role in promoting literature. How have you used these platforms like Instagram, Twitter to connect with your audience? And how do you think this has helped you as a poet, improved you?
Of recent, I started up something called Read Chibirige Daily, and I've been doing it for the past, I think, if today is 26, I think for the past 10, 11 days, I've been trying to post a poem on all my social media accounts, every day. And trust me, I know my receive comments.
Okay.
And these comments have really given me a new direction, you get. But away from that, I've been using the media, of course, to promote my work. People like Kakwenza, Nyanzi, they got to know me through the media. And I used to receive positive comments from such guys. And then, of course, I got connected to them just like that via social media, just because they were reading some work of mine.
Yeah.
You get. I've also used the media to get several clients. You know, I write poems and different pieces for commission. I'm also, by the way, I write scripts, film scripts.
Okay.
I've gotten an opportunity to write for some two companies, film companies.
That's but amazing.
They also get to know me through the media. So I've tried promoting myself on the media, though not sufficiently, but I've tried.
Yeah.
And I'm still in the struggle to try on the better I know.
That's the same way I do it. And I ask that question because a lot of people have this opportunity for the media, the social media. It's on our phones. It's everywhere. And for the most part, some people are just using it for wrong reasons. But then I ask you that question to see how you've used social media to help you. And I've used social media to help me to add on to my work, for people to get to know what I do, put it out there. People get to listen to it. So it's just an encouragement to other people that you can use social media to add on to your work, to add on to your craft, or even to learn something that's going to change your life. So there's a lot of things you can tap into with social media, and I'm glad you take it that way. And like you said, it's a learning process. You know, you might not use it sufficiently, because I remember one time I was not putting videos on TikTok. I was like, no, I'm not using TikTok. No. But some friend was like, just put it there. Some people will find you. People who use TikTok will find you there, and then they'll get to know your work. Like, people use all the platforms. So if you can, just put it everywhere. People who use different platforms will learn about you from those, even if you don't use it, but just use it to put your work out there. And people will find it. So you talked about writing music for other artists. Have you done any collaborations with other poets in Uganda? Doing a collaboration on a poem?
Yes, though we've not published yet, but yes.
Okay.
I have poems with those of Siwar. I have poems with those of some girl called Anati Sandra. I have a poem with Numbers of Shakira. We are soon releasing them.
I love collaborations. Collaborations is everything. I say collaboration over competition. So like we just need more collaboration than, because the motto of my podcast, though I don't say it a lot, it's we rise by lifting each other up, and I look at it in I'm gonna rise by bringing you to my podcast to share your story, your journey, and then you're gonna rise from being on my podcast for my audience to tap into it. So if we keep doing that, help each other out, we're gonna rise, and then we all benefit. Your journey involves being a poet and being a writer. How do you collaborate those two? Are they different, or they just work hand in hand? You find it easier to do it because they go along together.
Before they abandoned, I made 3 attempts to come up with a novel. I've been writing the abandoned for the past 4 years. It's really not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy to speak. I've taken time without writing poems, like ever since March, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been writing poetry. I've been focusing on this one novel.
Yeah.
So the time you may take on coming up with a poem, however complex it may be, it's easier for sure.
Yeah. It's easier to write a poem. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up with a novel or something else, like a film script. Okay, like when you're a lazy writer, you may have the story in mind, but then whenever you sit down to write something, you get exhausted easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I've been going through. You know, I love poems more than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really hard coming up with things like short stories, because I have short stories also. Short stories, novels or novelas, anything detailed.
Mm-hmm.
Anything detailed. It's really hard. At least for a poem, you scratch your brain, bless this line, write and cross, then you write another one to fix that one. But then for a novel, you just have to write, keep on writing, keep on writing.
I can't even imagine sitting down to write a novel. I can barely write a Facebook post. So so I put respect to people who write novels.
I used to think novels were merely stories, you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, coming up with a novel, it's some hectic thing also.
Mm-hmm. Like building
however sweet it may feel when you're writing it, you know?
Yeah.
If you're a starter like me, this being my debut novel, though I've had it edited by different guys and they've really appreciated it,
mm-hmm.
but then coming up with it wasn't a smooth journey,
yeah.
Being honest. Four years trying to write that,
mm-hmm.
So easy.
So when I'm old, they all have had manners put in 4 years, so December 23rd, that's when it's coming out, right?
Yeah,
December 23rd. So, show love, show support. Support our very own from Uganda, Chibirige. You've listened to his story, his journey. Like, he's putting a lot of work in there, and we need to appreciate. And I think I'll be one of the first people to buy a book from Ryusa. And I like that.
Amen.
I like to support. I like to support the work people do. And I know it's not easy to create. It's not easy. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
I talked about it the other day. Like, people might see me putting episodes out and I'm like, oh no, guy, are you consistent? But throughout the week, they don't know like what's behind there you're going through. So when somebody puts something out there, we need to encourage them, support them, and show them the love. You talked about doing politics poetry. How does that come about? Like, how do you choose when to do, and what do you do about politics?
I've been a leader in school, outside school. I'm a friend to different politicians, honorable members of parliament, different politicians, okay, generally. So I just look at the way we're being led by different politicians here and there, generally also, and I just come up with poems. Like, for example, there's a poem of mine called Civilian Cries, some blue poem. So detailed. I think it's about... if not 12 stanzas, then it's 8 stanzas. Okay. Three lines. Yeah, it's one of my most appreciated political poems, actually.
Also, to I can pick a poem in the Uta, but that one, but like any short one that you can give us.
It's a death poem called When I Meet My Death.
Okay.
I love that poem so much. Those Navajikwa Sayona, but at least the opening lines I can mention, I can recite them. I know one day I'll meet my doom, but at least I'll have my eternal room. No dust will be there, so I need no broom. I don't know if one day my death live a boom. Got it. Is,
are you, do you know Wake 256?
Wake 256?
Yeah. I think, is he? Yeah, I think Wake 256. Wake. He's a poet too. Nay, his stage poems, and he.
Poet.
Yeah, poet. And I think he does music too. But anyway, looking ahead, what projects or aspirations do you have for the future of your writing career? And how do you envision of working on them to impact? And what impact do you hope it will have on your readers?
I really want to see people change based on my writing. In future there, you know, I'm having some legal books that I'm trying to come up with. Plays, being a law student, I'm trying to write some law drama, something that can. So I really want to inspire. I want to inspire them all and see people change and see people quote my work, you know. It's not easy to be quoted when you're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Most times, as a writer,
mm-hmm.
they really appreciate when you...
Ugenze.
Yeah, in Ugenze, nae. I really want to have those moments. I'm somewhere, mm-hmm. then someone is like, Chirige once said this and this and this. Okay, of course, since they write on the media, what.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not yet there. But I know with time, God is going to put me there.
Amen, amen. And for me, the word I took out was impact. I mostly say a lot to people that when I do the podcast and you go, social media can let you down sometimes because you go, you put out your work somewhere and whatever, there's no that social media interaction. But there are days when you get a text, like you said, people comment or people send you messages like, hey man, this poem is good. It has encouraged me to do this and this. And it's the same way people message me, is like, hey, I really enjoy this episode with Chibirige. It's helped me understand about poems. So those stay with you. And that's what counts for me, like an impact, like impacting somebody's life. And that's beats everything. So I like when you said you wanted your work to impact people. That's all that matters. That's all that counts, to impact people's lives. I have three questions left for you so we can end this recording. What's a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
There was a time, my best lesson, I don't know how to phrase it, but let me just bring it in this way. There was a time when I was really down, and then I needed someone to talk to. So I was in my bedroom, daddy's place, and the guy came to my room, my dad, I'm talking about my dad. My dad came to my room, and it was morning, around 8 a.m., time when he leaves for work. So he sat on my bed, and it was like, everything happens for a reason in life. Now this was the newer lesson that has now also made a difference in my life for sure. Though it was in Uganda, but I would just put it in English straight. In life, it is after us reaching at some stage or stages that we look back and get to know that this is the reason as to why this and this and this happened. You understand? This inspired me to come up with a poem titled Life. And in that poem, I'm having lines that say, change needs time to make, just like baking a sweet cake, you get.
Yeah.
Change really needs time to make, just like baking a sweet cake. And you really have to take your mold such that when it gets old,
mm-hmm.
it does not get to break or even get a crack. Those are also lines in that poem.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I like that. Hopefully the listeners will be able to pick out something from that too. My next question for you, what gets you excited about life?
Success. Whenever I just think about success, even when I'm really feeling down, I just be like, wow, I have to go out there, work so hard and get successful. And also when I feel like I'm successful in something, I really feel excited.
Yeah
sure.
Now that's...
And I really feel excited when I see people getting successful. Every passing day, someone is graduating, someone is, you know, really get excited.
That's amazing that you get inspired through your own success, but also seeing other people succeed. They don't get happy for other people. They just feel jealous for them. Like when somebody achieves something, it's sad when somebody gets jealous for somebody else's success. My final question for you on the podcast is a signature question. Who would you like to see on this podcast next as a guest? And you're going to help me find that person to be our next guest here.
It's a hard one, but where are Galizakuno? It's really hard. Nainga, there are really many. To watch Twala movie. There is a friend of mine called Zenana Kanwaji.
Okay.
I would really love to see her being featured on this podcast. Honestly speaking, she's a good poetess. Mm-hmm. She's having fine poetry.
Okay.
Honestly speaking.
That would be amazing.
Whether you know about her.
I don't think I know about her, but you can connect me with her and then I'll reach out to her.
She must be the best, I think.
Okay.
Among the females, she's very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to connect me to her and then I'll have her on the podcast. But once again, Chibirige, thank you for your words. I like how humble you are and just being open and just enjoying the moment and being in there talking to us about your work. I hope like people understand your work, see your work and support. That's all we can ask for. And I know just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing amazing. And one day you look back and see the journey when everything is paying off.
Thank you so much, Chibuka. Thank you so much. I'm really humbled to be hosted by you. What a blessing being featured on this podcast by our own that side.
Mm-hmm.
I must report to you that I'm having guys of mine who really, really love what you do.
Mm.
Fellow podcasters that you've inspired, though some don't tell you. But yeah. One day I was speaking to some guy called John. John Rugaba, I don't know whether you know him.
No, I don't think so.
Some guy in China, he's having a podcast called Sangin Podcast. John Paul Rugaba.
Okay.
When he was this side, he told me about it and he was like, yeah, that guy does it good.
Yeah.
He's also some award-winning podcaster there in China there.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you for creating this. Thank you for giving me platform. Thank you for giving other people platform. And thank you for everything you do for us. May God give you blessings in abundance for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And that's one of the things I've not talked about on this podcast, but I'm coming to Uganda in January and I would love to meet. Yeah. So I'm doing a live show in Uganda. I'm going to do a live show. So I'll gladly invite all my guests that have been on the podcast so I can get to meet them. And then you get to listen to a live podcast with me and having people in the audience. So I'd love to meet everybody, other podcasters in Uganda, so we get together. Tuemanye, and we know how we can support each other.
Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, can't wait to meet you. And that's why I asked you, now I'll go back to the question I asked you earlier, if you were given an opportunity to do spoken poetry in front of people, would you do it? Because I was gonna tell you, hey, I have an opportunity if you ever want to do spoken. But I respect that, and I think Joff the poet is gonna be there, and I talked to him about it because
he should be. He's very good.
Yeah, I already talked to him, and I think he's gonna do that. So I'm excited, and I want to give other people opportunities. Like I'm planning all these things. I want to do, like planning my thing, but also supporting other people who do the same thing that can incorporate with what I'm trying to do. So I'm looking forward to that, and I can't wait to see you guys.
Sure. We can't wait to see you too.
Kale boss, thank you very much, and stay blessed, my brother.
Thank you too very much. Thank you so much.
Kale. Hey there, this is Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you share it with a friend and recommend somebody to this podcast. Don't forget to leave a feedback on this podcast because that's how we grow. And also don't forget to share, like, subscribe, and comment. Join us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you very much and be blessed.